Our sermon text this week is 1 Peter 1, 17 through 25. So if you have a Bible handy, please grab it and read along with me. And if not, you can read the words on the screen too. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 25, we read in Jesus' name. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are the firstborn from the dead. You are the first man to walk in this new and eternal life that you started on that Easter morning so long ago. And Lord, many of us have been reborn into that life with you. We praise you and we thank you for that. I pray, Lord Jesus, that my words this morning would be truth, your truth, and that they would grow your people's obedience to the truth, and in so doing also, Lord, purify their hearts. I pray also for anyone listening, Lord, who does not know you, that person right now who's wondering, is this about them? Lord, that person who has not been reborn into new and everlasting life. Lord, I pray for that person that through your living and eternal word, you would call them to yourself. Send your Holy Spirit and give them ears to hear and a heart to follow you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen. So most of us are probably in our own homes right now. But my question to you is not about where you are right now, but actually, where are you going to be Tuesday? Roughly, say, 9:15 in the morning. Will you be in your basement still in the middle of your fourth Zoom meeting for the week? Or will you be in the middle of a shift? Or maybe you'll be in your living room watching the birds outside. Many of us will be at home, in our house. And even if we aren't at home, even if we're at work, we'll still be near what we call home. We'll be in our hometown or our home county, or at least in our home state. So the first verse of what Peter says to us here, it's easy for us to hear it and to disregard. Look at what he says. He says, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. And I think most of us see that word foreigners and we pretty much assume he's talking about someone else. Maybe Peter is talking about some Jews back in the first century that had to flee Jerusalem because they became Christians. Or maybe he's talking about, I don't know, some other kind of exiles. But we're not foreigners. We've lived here forever. I mean, you guys have. I've only been here for a year. But when 9:15 to Tuesday morning rolls around, I pray with all my heart that you will be a foreigner, an exile, a sojourner, a pilgrim. I want you to be all of those things Tuesday morning because Jesus wants you to be all of those things Tuesday morning. Jesus wants you to be a foreigner here on Tuesday morning because he wants you to be a foreigner here every moment of your life until you meet him in glory. Jesus wants you to be a foreigner because he wants you to be a pilgrim. You see, the Greek word that the NIV has translated here, foreigner, is actually, it's a really broad word. So it's kind of hard to capture it fully in English. This is where reading a few different translations in the English is actually really helpful. The ESV translates this word exiles. The old NIV translated it strangers. The New King James makes it simply your stay here. And the old trusty King James says sojourners. But this word can also be translated pilgrimage. None of these words are wrong. They all capture a part of what Peter intended. Peter wrote this letter originally so it could be distributed to a whole bunch of Christian congregations. And many of the people he was writing to were people like us, who had lived their whole lives in the location where they were at when they first heard this letter. Physically, they were living where they had always lived. But then the Word of God rolled into their lives, and with it the grace of God, and those people were reborn. They were reborn into an entirely new life. Their mailing address was the same, but now they were foreigners and pilgrims. And so it is with everyone who believes in and trusts in Jesus Christ. When we come to faith in Jesus, we begin our pilgrimage because we are entirely reborn. We become exiles, sojourners, pilgrims, and foreigners. And we aren't just exiles for 1 hour a week on Sunday mornings. You are either on this pilgrimage or you aren't. So that means if you're on this pilgrimage at 9:15 on Tuesday morning, wherever you are, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will be an exile. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, your whole life is a pilgrimage through a foreign land. It's an integral part of a life of faith. It's just part of the package. And that's what this text is talking about. There's a lot more to this lifelong pilgrimage than just attending church. There are things for us to understand about this exile and to apply to our lives. And that is why the Holy Spirit gave us this text through Peter. It's so that he could prepare us, so he could grow us in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to come to understand is the reason why Christians are foreigners. Because nobody really likes to feel like an exile. For many of us, life is pretty comfortable. And some of our friends and neighbors are living pretty comfortable lives that are very obviously not Christian. And so they say, well, if this is wrong, I don't really want to be right. I think we can all admit that that kind of thinking is more prevalent than we care to admit. So when we go to them and we stand up and we say, yes, that is wrong, and you should want to be right, well, you know what? That makes us outsiders. That makes us exiles. That makes us foreigners. We are outsiders and pilgrims. And it's because we are free. We are free from the captivity to sin that no one else, except for Christians who place their trust in Jesus, we are free from the captivity to sin that in a way that no one else is. Jesus paid a very expensive ransom to free us from that captivity. We have been freed not by money or political power or political action, but brothers and sisters, we have been freed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So here's the sad thing, though, okay? So wherever you are on Tuesday morning at 9:15, say you're out working at one of the power plants, you will be surrounded by coworkers. Some of them might be people you have lived your whole entire life with. And yet, you might be an exile and a pilgrim, and your coworker might not be. And is it because Jesus didn't pay the ransom for them? No. No, it is not. Jesus paid the ransom for every single person on this planet, for everyone, and yet some still reject him. Why do they do that? Jesus paid everything to save you. Jesus didn't hold a fundraiser and then pay Satan some silver for your life. Jesus didn't hire a lawyer to argue your way free. He shed his blood on the cross. He gave his infinitely valuable life in exchange for yours. And what did he get out of it? He took horrific punishment. He bought you with his blood. He paid for you even if you reject him. And yet some do. Why do they do that? Probably one reason is they don't want to be outsiders. They don't want to be exiles. They don't want to go on a pilgrimage. They're pretty happy with the way life is just as it is. But friend, if that's you right now, if you are the one who cannot understand why in the world someone would change their life so much because of the stuff that's written in a book, if you're the person saying, why would I quit drinking? Why would I stop arguing with people all the time? Why would I seek help for my anger problem? I'm not going to bow to that book. I don't want to be a pilgrim. I'm not going to be an outsider in the community I've lived in my whole life. Why would I do that? Friend, let me tell you why you should give up that stuff and start living your life in the fear and reverence of God. This world, the world that us pilgrims are exiles in, this world is perishing. It's dying. It's going away. And all the futile ways of living that you have learned from this society, the things that you are comfortable with, the if this is wrong, I don't want to be right stuff, all that stuff that really is actually wrong, those things will perish as well. And friend, you want to be an exile from that stuff. That stuff will kill you. That's what Peter means when he says it's all futile. All that stuff is pointless. It's empty because in the end, the sins that you found comfort in, the sins that you built a life on, those are the sins that will lead you to eternal death. Christians are foreigners to the world that is infected with sin. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't sin sometimes. I'm not saying we are perfect in our actions, but what I am saying is sin is no longer native to us. We are no longer natives to this world, which is broken by sin. Verse 23 says that if we are born again, we're born again not from perishable seed, but from imperishable seed. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a new creation, bursting forth in the midst of the old. So we're like Abraham walking through the promised land and preaching about the righteousness that comes through faith in our awesome God. We are sojourners in a foreign land, even if that foreign land is one that we have lived in our entire lives. So we need to move on and take a look at how exactly we start this pilgrimage. But before we do, I need to clarify one more thing about our exile. We are not on a pilgrimage to escape the physical world. There's an all too common attitude out there that anything spiritual is a healthy way to escape from the world. Human beings have a natural desire to have a spiritual life. Jesus says in John 17:3 that eternal life is to know Him and the true Father that sent Him. The very definition of life includes a spiritual relationship, spiritual communion with God. And we were built, we were designed for that spiritual relationship. And that's why a life that does not have that relationship is futile and empty. Because it's missing something. Some of us can just naturally sense that missing something. And when we do, sometimes we just think it's the world's fault. And then some guru will come along and tell us that our spirit hurts because it's chained to a material creation. So all you got to do is find your inner voice and find some way to break free from your body and the restraints that come with it, and go up and hang out with the stars or something. The world is full of false teachers who will say that if you just meditate long and hard enough, your spirit can escape the physical world. Or maybe they teach something besides meditation. There's tons of weird stuff out there. People are always inventing new and strange spiritual practices that are condemned by the Bible. Many of these false teachers want you to believe that the physical world is bad and needs to be escaped, and the spiritual world, that is the good place. So they'll teach you to do just about anything, from sensory deprivation to LSD. Anything that can separate you from your body, that must be good, because bodies and flesh and material, all of that is evil. But brothers and sisters, do not be fooled by this. We are not exiles because we are trapped in a material world and we're somehow waiting to escape forever to a spirit world where we will float around as like nebulous, disembodied, bodiless blobs. Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead as a bodiless blob of spirit. Jesus rose from the grave with a body. Our exile is from a world of sin, not from our bodies or a world of substance. Sin is the problem, not the physical world. And yes, sin has broken just about everything in the physical world. But the people that teach you everything spiritual is good and everything physical is bad, they don't care a lick about sin. So the stuff they teach you, it will not lead you to your loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are pilgrims headed to a world where we will have perfect, imperishable, but physical bodies, just like Jesus. Until then, we are foreigners here. We are the righteous, living among the unrighteous and hopefully calling them to join us in our pilgrimage. As Christians, are we so bold to say that we are the righteous among the unrighteous? Yes. Yes, we are. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we can proudly proclaim, because of Jesus, that we are the righteous among the unrighteous. Unless, of course, we fall prey to the futile spiritual practices that lead people away from God instead of towards Him. We cannot make our own way to God. We must fear Him enough to acknowledge that His grace comes to us in the ways that He says they do. There's a story in Leviticus that illustrates this really well. It's from chapter 10. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and they laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." To Nadab and Abihu, offering incense to God appeared to be very good spiritual practice. But it was their idea, not God's. In fact, it was contrary to the very clear orders about worship that God had given in the book of Exodus. And so the anger of the Lord, the fire of God, consumed Nadab and Abihu as a warning to us. God, the real God, cannot be bribed or lured toward you. Nor can you climb some spiritual ladder through your own works or meditations to get closer to Him. He comes to you. In fact, He is constantly coming to you. He, the Word of God, became flesh so that He could dwell with you in the flesh. Because in your sin, because of your sin, there is absolutely no way that you could go to Him. To try to ascend your way to God by your works, either by your works of good deeds or by your works of deep spiritual practices, to try to ascend to God yourself apart from Jesus Christ and His Word is a futile endeavor. And it will end with you being consumed in flames. So don't do that. Stop reading Deepak Chopra and start reading God's Word. Stop meditating on Mother Nature and start meditating on the Bible. Don't be one of those people that says nonsense things like, "I'm spiritual but not religious." As if in all of your self-righteous spirituality, you could not come down from your spiritual throne to roll around in the materialistic mud with the rest of us. Stop being so spiritual that you deny your physical birth. Because that's just silly. You were physically born. I have no idea how you'd be listening to this if you weren't. But you were physically born a sinner. So you need to be reborn. My fellow pilgrims, we have been reborn. Our soul has been reborn as righteous and imperishable. And after we die and rise from the grave, just like Jesus did on Easter morning, our bodies will be perfect too. We are reborn into the new creation, and that makes us exiles from the old broken one. This is just like Pastor Sperry was talking about in his Easter message. The Word of God has taken all of the brokenness of our lives, all of it, all the dried bones and the wreckage, all of that perishable stuff. And through the Word of God, we receive the grace of God. And we are reborn imperishable. Christians are reborn into our pilgrimage. We begin our pilgrimage through the Word of God, and we continue our pilgrimage through the Word of God. In verse 20 of today's text, Peter says that Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world. That's why the worship of Moses and the worship of Abraham was just as much about Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross as ours is. The only difference is that Moses and Abraham were looking forward in time, and we are looking backward. Both of us are looking at Jesus through the Word of God, which is what Peter says in verse 20. Peter says that Jesus was chosen before the foundation of the world, and also that Jesus was made clear to us by his works and by his word. Peter even goes on to say in verse 21 that it's through Jesus that we actually come to believe in God. It's not our works. It's God's gracious work. It's actually the grace of God that creates faith in your heart. Many of us have had the experience of deciding to follow Jesus. In fact, I hope and pray that all of us have. But we also must understand that we only make that decision by the grace of God. That, brothers and sisters, is why we need to allow the Holy Spirit to permeate every aspect of our pilgrimage. The only way our faith is in God is if it is through Jesus. And the only way that we are reborn into this new pilgrimage is through the living and enduring Word of God, the Bible. And some will respond, yeah, but it's not like the Bible contains Jesus. Is that what you're saying? That Jesus only comes to us through the Bible? Look, Jesus can come to us however he wants. Someday he will come accompanied by a trumpet blast. But Nadab and Abihu show us we cannot go to Jesus any way we want. Our God is holy. Our God is a consuming fire. The only way to approach him, Peter writes, is to be purified by the obedience of the truth. Jesus has given us a way to him. He has revealed himself in Scripture for us and for our salvation. And we're silly to look anywhere else for him. It's through the Bible that we are reborn and enter into this pilgrimage. This exile of ours, it's the Bible that makes us foreigners to sin. Because it's through the Bible and the Bible's work on our hearts that we become exiles. So brothers and sisters, when 9:15 Tuesday morning rolls around, if you are a pilgrim, as I pray you will be, it will be because the Bible made you so. It's not because you are somehow more spiritual than your coworker. It's not because you're more in touch with your inner voice. It's because through the Bible you were reborn into a pilgrimage of faith, and because you continue to conduct yourself in reverent fear of the God revealed in Holy Scripture. And you know what else, brothers and sisters? When 9:15 a.m. Tuesday morning rolls around and you are a foreigner surrounded by natives, you can call them into exile as well. You can invite them to join our pilgrimage. You can speak the truth of God's love and the truth of our freedom from sin. You can speak that truth to them until they too obey and are purified by it. You, brothers and sisters, because you have been ransomed from the futility of sin, you can call people to a life, a pilgrimage, a life that has purpose, that is not futile. You've not only been freed from sin and futility, but you have been given a purpose. Peter says in verse 22 that our souls have been purified by obeying the truth, and so we are free to love one another purely, sincerely, and deeply. This goes with what Jesus says in John 13:35. The world will know Jesus' pilgrims by their love for each other. We are free, brothers and sisters. We are free to love each other in such a way that makes us foreigners in this world. And with that, Lord, with that freedom and that foreignness, we can call other people to Christ as well. And when they ask us why do you love each other sacrificially? We can say, all flesh is like grass. It's all perishable and bound to wither. But Jesus Christ has raised us all imperishable and cleansed our hearts. And to them that may seem foreign, but we are free. Our lives are not futile. We have a purpose. And it's one we'd like them to have too. Brothers and sisters, our lives are no longer futile. Our purpose is to tell the world, to tell all those who are not yet pilgrims and exiles, that Jesus Christ has ransomed them as well, and that they should also join our pilgrimage and our exile. Amen.